Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley recounts the history of the Jewish people and how hearts were led astray.
God wanted a people who were humble, who loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But here's where they were wrong. They had been filled with pride, and then the pride led to prejudice against Gentile people and the nations of the world, and the Gentiles felt estranged from God.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God chooses to reach people through other people. He could use angels or his own thundering voice from the heavens, but he chooses to use people. But people are an imperfect message delivery system. Today, Pastor Ray talks about how God reached people in spite of his chosen people.
I want you to open your Bibles to the book, The Gospel According to John Mark. And we're letting the Lord disciple us as his Talmudim is the Hebrew word for disciples. And what the Lord is desiring is more than just believers. He wants followers who are committed followers to him, that have surrendered their lives. I mean, the idea is to be less you, more Jesus. Does that sound good? To be filled with him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what does that mean? We can grow in our, you can tell that to a brand new believer. You can tell a brand new believer, Christ is in you, hallelujah. But the consciousness of Christ in you can grow. In other words, when I say the consciousness of that reality is when you're a brand new believer, you know it on a beginning level. But we grow in Christ. It's an interesting thing. John the Baptist said it best. I must decrease and he must increase. So the Christian life, many people plateau. They get saved and then they kind of plateau. They think it's about going to church, learning more information in Bible studies, maybe helping, with tithes and offerings and sending some missionaries. And all of that is good. But I want to encourage every single one of you here tonight. I have the most incredible life because I am on an adventure with the living God. And I am not happy doing it alone. I'm having the most incredible time of my life. And what I am trying, I want to, coax and encourage and exhort as many of you as I can to not just hear the story and study the story, but to step into the story and begin this incredible grand adventure. It's an adventure to follow the Lord and hear his voice and be obedient to him. He can tell you things in your personal daily life that are personal and unique and supernatural and extraordinary. Amen? Amen. So, Mark chapter 7, you'll see in your notes here, the title of the message is what? A kosher heart. How many of you have heard the word kosher? How many of you know what kosher means? Besides good hot dogs or whatever. It's kosher. You've probably heard that expression. It's a Hebrew expression. It's a Jewish expression. And what I want to share with you tonight, and especially as Jesus disciples us, he wants us to have a kosher heart. Now, what is that? What is that? Or what does that mean? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, we have, by the way, here's the essence of holiness. Jesus is teaching us about holiness. And I'm basically letting the same Jesus who is discipling the apostles 2,000 years ago through his living word is now discipling us. And there are some religious leaders who have been following Jesus and listening to Jesus and really wanting to find an excuse to trap him and to find fault with him and to criticize him. And now they've built up enough courage to actually confront him. And interestingly, as we'll see, it's shortly after Jesus multiplies fish and bread, and the count was 5,000 men, so you add the women and the children, and you're probably anywhere from 15 to 20, 20,000 plus people. So some of the religious leaders who have traveled from Jerusalem are now come up to Galilee and to explore, and they've heard stories, and they watch all these people, and the bread is passing, and they notice not everybody is doing the ceremonial washing of hands, including the very disciples of Jesus. Aha! And like a good referee with their, referee stripes, they're throwing the yellow flag into the air, saying a 15-yard penalty to Jesus and his followers. So here in verse 1, we read, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem." So they've come from Jerusalem, which is in the south, all the way to Galilee in the north. "Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is, with unwashed hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches." And then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" And then Jesus answered them, and we'll stop there for right now. First thing I want you to note is that some, and I want to underscore, not all of the religious Jews, not all of the Pharisees, but some of the Pharisees and Torah teachers asked Jesus a question. One of the things, especially today, you have to be careful of is that, categorizing all the Jews. They all rejected Jesus. They all crucified him. They all, and therefore they all. Wrong. Not all the Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, if they had, there would be no new covenant. Every single writer, except probably one in the entire New Testament, was Jewish. In fact, the author of the Gospel of Mark, his name is John Mark. John is his Jewish Hebrew name. Mark is his Roman name. So there were the crowds who had just heard Jesus, and all the way to the very end, Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna. Now, did they all understand? No. But it's wrong to say that they all rejected him. And may I also say that today, within the Jewish community, there are today in Israel, the messianic, and by that I mean Jewish community, who are still living fully Jewish lives and yet believe that Jesus was and is the Messiah for the Jews, has reached over 15,000 in modern Israel. Now, that may not sound like a lot to us here in America, but in Israel, when there are so few Jewish people to begin with, it has reached critical mass. And what I mean by that is there are enough Jewish believers in Jesus, which seems like an oxymoron, because Jews say you can be anything. You could be an atheist, you can still be Jewish. But you can't believe in Jesus and also be Jewish. That's where some of the Jewish people would say, no, we disagree. Just as Peter, James, John, Mary, Magdalene, and the other Marys and the other women and the disciples were all Jewish. The 120 on the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem were Jewish. So also today there is a Jewish remnant. And then they say there's even more around the world. And believers, Jewish people that believe, and they're maybe a part of a church around the world. There is an article that was just in CNN. I don't know if you saw it or not, but here was the title of the article. We're having unprecedented things happen. It says, Jews begin to reclaim Jesus. And they're actually talking and saying, hey, wait a second, why do we have to, this guy has influenced the world. There's 2.5 billion people who follow this guy, and we're not claiming him? He was Jewish. He was a Jew. And so they're reclaiming him and looking at him. There was another, Joel Rosenberg has on his blog, they made a discovery in the Dead Sea Scrolls that Jews who lived 200 years before Christianity was born and before Jesus even came along, these were those who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. How many have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? So these guys who lived as much as 200 years before Jesus came along said that we as Jews, they had these writings that have been preserved today. 2,000-year-old writings they found in these caves. They said, we as Jews believe that when the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, comes, he will suffer, he will die, and he will rise again on the third day. So this is, Jewish people are saying, wait a minute, we were told that was a Christian concept that they, you know, foisted upon, that Jews never believed that. Now you're telling us Jews 200 years before Jesus came along said and believed and taught and wrote that the Messiah would come, suffer, die, and rise again from the third day. Does that sound like any Jew in the last 2,000 years? Jesus! So there's a lot of exciting things that are going on.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's such a blessing to hear from our radio listeners who found biblical help and hope through this ministry.
Dear Ray Bentley, I was at a very low time in my life, a time when I was starting to question the existence of God. I felt as if God was nowhere in my time of need. I received one of your radio offers about discouragement. It opened my eyes and showed me that God was everywhere. In fact, I see now that God allowed me to endure this time of pain to strengthen my love and commitment toward Him. It's funny how God works sometimes. Right when you think He's nowhere to be found, there He is.
How have these studies in God's Word had an impact on your life or impacted your family? Would you drop Pastor Ray an email and let him know? Write ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. It would be such an encouragement to hear from you today. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So as Jesus now comes, they're challenging, not all of them, but some of them, they're not washing their hands. Now, are there washings of hands and cleansing of things written into the law? Yes. But the way that they are doing it here is according to the oral tradition, which is called the Mishnah. But so the Mishnah is the oral tradition, and it's very highly respected tradition, you know.
Tradition.
But it's not the written Word of God, the inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God. Now, the Jewish people say that the Mishnah, the oral tradition, is like a fence. It's holy men that would read and pray and say, now, how do we apply these washings? Well, we think you should do it this way. This is the right way. And it's the oral tradition, the Mishnah, this fence that helps to protect the Word of God. But here is the problem. The problem is that sometimes, and follow me, this is very important, sometimes our interpretations as men and our traditions that we can build, if we get carried away, we can lift the fence to actually being more important than what the fence is there to protect, which is the Word of God. Does that make sense? And what can happen is, in fact, it can go to the extreme that we even make the fence equal to or above the very thing that's to be protected, which is the Word. And so here's what Jesus was saying 2,000 years ago. After hundreds and hundreds of years, I mean, Israel's history went 2,000 years from Jesus backwards to Abraham. It had been around for 2,000 years. So this fence had become a wall. And it was, rather than protecting the preciousness of God's anointed Word that came divinely inspired, rather than protecting it, it was as a wall keeping people who were hungry for God out. And that's what was happening. Somebody was just telling me tonight that there was an article about how atheism is on the rise, and then they did, you know, who are these atheists and where do they come from? Which I think is kind of funny that the movement, as it's called, the atheist movement, you know, they don't believe in God. Okay, but they're not satisfied that they don't believe in God. They want other people to believe or not believe. So they have atheist evangelists, so to speak, who hold atheist crusades to get other non-believers to join their non-believing movement. Does that make sense? They're mirroring everything that the church does. If there is no God, it seems like it would just kind of take care of itself, but it's actually going the other way. Though they've made some strides, the Bible says the world is, in the days of the Antichrist, we don't get less religious, we get more. So anyway, that's a side issue. So here's this fence, and they're criticizing Jesus' disciples. They're fishermen. These are not, you know, professional, religious, holy men per se. They're fishermen. They're believers. But how does Jesus answer them? Look with me in verses 6 and 7. Jesus reveals something, and I believe that his words are like a sharp, two-edged sword in a healing, surgical way, not only to 2,000 years ago, but to today as well. In verses 6 and 7, he exposes in the religious community two things, pride and prejudice. You ever heard of that? Pride and prejudice. Somebody wrote a book about that and made a movie about pride and prejudice. It has been around as long as human beings have rebelled against God, with pride and with prejudice. And Jesus is now wanting to expose this. In verse 6, he says, "He answered and said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites.'" That's not a good way to win friends and influence people, to call them such. But Jesus does. He says, "As it is written," and then he quotes the word, "'This people honors me with their,'" what? "'Lips. But their heart is far from me.'" That is what it means to be a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who can say the right words with their lips, and yet their heart can be far from God. Now, here is the truth of the matter. How many of you would admit tonight that you are not absolutely 100% perfect and pure from head to toe? You admit you're a sinner. So we're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you know what that includes? We have all been hypocrites. We have all said things and yet done differently. Paul even writes about it in Romans chapter 7. Rather than say, well, they're the hypocrites and those guys, and they're being hypocritical. The reality is all of humanity is being a hypocrite. And the moment you say, but I'm not a hypocrite, then you're being a hypocrite. You're part of the whole fabric of humanity and pride. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me." It's not that they don't go through rituals. It's not that they don't have some religious tradition that they're following. But he's quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus came. And Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God, God speaking through him, said, "They are worshiping me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commandments of" whom? "Men." The commandments of men. They made the fence equal to the authority of the Word of God. And that's where they got into trouble. Now, because of this, because the fence, the oral tradition, the way they were trying to apply it and interpret it was being given greater importance than God's Word, something corrupting began to happen in the hearts of these religious leaders. And in that pride, it began making them feel, because we follow all of the rules of the fence, of how you're supposed to follow the word, and they don't, all of a sudden, you feel an elevation. And you begin looking down on other people, and that's exactly what happened among the Jewish community. They looked down upon anybody who was not Jewish or who was Gentile. And they literally would despise them. Or they would despise even other Jews who were not doing what they did and the way they did it, following the rules as according to the fence, the Mishnah, and how to live and follow the Word of God. Therefore, they set themselves up self-righteously as being better than other people. And literally, a religious Jewish person, by the way, let me say, not all. There were Nicodemuses, there were Joseph of Arimathea's, and there were others who were men and women who loved God in the midst of all that, had the right perspective, and they might have followed some of the traditions, but they had the Word of God as first and foremost. But some of them did not, and they would literally walk down the streets, you know, with their robes. If you can imagine, you're a holy man, and you've got your robes, and in slow motion as the wind is carrying the robe, and all of a sudden as you're walking down the street, there comes a Gentile, and a gust of wind comes, and you grab your robe, and you pull it tightly around you. How dare my robe touch a Gentile dog? So how did this make Gentiles feel? Whoa. Wow, I feel like I'm being treated like I'm not even human. Or, wow, so this is their God? Apparently, I'm not good enough for their God. God doesn't like me. God doesn't love me, or something is wrong with me. And that is the exact opposite of what God had intended for the Jewish people to be. God had desired for the Jewish people to be in love with God and to be humble, that they would get their righteousness from their relationship with the one true God. They weren't worshiping idols who really weren't gods. They were right about what they believed. Those little statues, as in the prophets it says, whenever you make an idol, the moment you make an idol, you just made it less than God. Because God can't be made. And he certainly can't be carved. And you carve little eyes into your God, but he can't see. You carve little ears on your God, but he can't hear. You carve a little mouth on your God, he can't talk. You tap your little God on the side, he falls down, he can't get up. And they usually were made smaller. Now, sometimes they made big ones and statues or whatever, but they wood and stone and all of that. And God said, no, they were right. But here's where they were wrong. That they had been filled with pride, and then the pride led to prejudice against Gentile people and the nations of the world, and the Gentiles felt estranged from God. What did God have in mind? God wanted a people who were humble, who walked with him, who were walking in this glorious adventure, who loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they were to be filled with the Shekinah light of the glory of God shining his blessing, his covenant relationship upon them. And light, the Jewish people were repelling. They were making God repulsive to the Gentiles. Now we take that now to the church. As we look at ourselves, we are called also to be a light unto him. But read with me Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. Let's read this out loud. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Oh, this is where the pride came into their hearts, the prejudice, which means to prejudge. And so here's the application for tonight. Is my life attracting people to Jesus Christ, or is it turning them away?
An important question and a good opportunity for self-evaluation. Pastor Ray Bentley with insight from our study today in Mark chapter 7 here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's study is titled, A Kosher Heart. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, when you click Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.